looking at in the whole year from last September in the mornings. We are Grow. And we've asked people if they want to come and join us and grow to become the people that God has called them to be, grow into their destiny. Each one of us has a destiny before us that God, the living God, Christians, believers, call them into. And we've seen people join us this year. Yes, we have seen people joining the church. It's radical, but it's true. So we move on today. We're going to look at next week's the bishop. I don't know what he's speaking on. He's got a free Sunday. And then we start the summer gatherings of Open Table. We're really looking forward to those. More of those next week. We'll just say a little bit more about that next week. But right now, as we look at the Bible, what is God saying to us this morning? On the last one of this series on we can grow in God. How do we actually do that? Well, we started something called the Grow Project. Hands up if you're involved in that or heard of that. Yeah, quite a few of you. We need more. Pass it on. And this is an in-house church family project, and the plan is this: we're spending a whole year with online materials, working at our own pace, that we would, in all the ups and downs of our lives, and life's tough sometimes, but in the midst of that, can we learn from Jesus to be a follower of Jesus? Rather than just depending on people at the front telling us, we have to engage with this and start to work with this ourselves. And in that, we start to grow. And we've seen and heard some amazing stories of what God has been doing. So I want to encourage you. We're in just finishing the second term. And then there's the summer where we do Open Table. Then the autumn term, we're looking at live life better. How we take this faith of ours onto the streets, into the workplaces. And this is a little springboard into that this morning. So we're going to look at the Bible. Just two verses from the Bible this morning, so I think here's our new curate coming on the screen now. If you just want to bring him up, if you could, there we go. And we start them young here, and I love this picture. I think it's a great picture, because all the way through this little message this morning, it's about primarily young people. How do we engage with young people, as Mark said at the front here? Young people have to be the key. Old people are amazing. I am one. I think they're amazing, but we have to go back to how do we engage with young people. So lots of the images are about young people on the screen. So what is God saying us today in how we can live this God life every day? Well, here's a verse from the Bible. It's from a book called Galatians. I'm going to chop the message down a little bit so we finish on near as time as we can. And the man who wrote this, a man called St. Paul, says this: since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's a wonderful verse. And what he's saying here, the word live in the original, this was written in the Greek language, the Bible, the New Testament. And the word live actually means to experience the gift of life from God. That's what the word actually means. So how can, if you experience the God-given life every day, when you get up and you go to work or you engage with the kids or you talk to a neighbor, if every day you can experience that God-given life, yes, if you live that way, how then, it says here, can we keep in step with the Spirit of God who gives us that life? Now, the word there, keep in step, actually means, the word's quite specific, means how can we walk in line, a bit like this picture here. How can we, just bring this up back if you would, how can we walk in line, a bit like ranks? How do we walk in line like this? So the Spirit leads us, and we're together doing the things that the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of Jesus, Christians believe, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's the Trinity, in a way we'll never understand. If you ever meet someone who says, let me explain to you the Trinity, walk away, because they're general idiots. You can't explain the unexplainable. You know, there's all kinds of three-leaf clovers and all that kind of stuff I've seen. God is not a three-leaf clover, trust me. I went to theological college, I know these things. I know he's definitely not a three-leaf clover. But we believe that in heaven, there is our God, and he came to earth in the form of a person, Jesus, to show us how to live. But not only that, he died this death on a cross to take away the wrong in our life, and not just then, but forever, for all those generations to come. But not only that, he came back to life and said, the great fear you have in your life, death, I've overcome that as well, and I've got a new kind of life for you. And that life comes from the Holy Spirit, God who is Spirit. And when you say yes to Jesus, of many, hundreds and hundreds have done in this church over the years, as I say, many through Mark's ministry here and Brian's, people have come and received the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So he leads us and says, this is what I want you to do today, Christian. Follow me, and you guys as well, in rank, follow me. Now, that's what it says, but this picture is more the reality. That's more the reality. It's like, I'm going to church, we're all in a line. And I've got to go here because it's PE. And I've been told to stand in a line. I love that picture. I spent a long time finding that. Look at the first four boys. Where are they now? Where are they now? Look at number three. I think that's Boris. I really do. Look at him. I'm not just not sure. The one behind him could be Philip Hammond. Look at, I mean, I think that could be today's government. Except that it's ordinary non-private school, so it can't be. Really, move on, move on, move on, move on. Look at number six. No, no, don't move on that. I'm moving on. Go back. Look at the guy, look at the little lad number six with the white t-shirt on. He's a winner. Isn't he? Look at him. All the others, I hate PE. Look at the one. I love PE. I love everything. I am the one who's going to succeed in this school. Where is he now? He's in America leading the whole nation, I think. There we go. So, since it's the ones right at the end I feel for, just peering out at the bottom there. Hi, I'm here. I love that picture because that's roughly my, slightly before me, I think, but I was probably the one at the front with a tie on. My mother always put a tie on me when I went to school, always. Wherever I went, my mother put a tie on me. When I was 27, I was working as a manager in BT. She put the tie on me as well. You always wear a tie. She said to me, if you wear a tie, I used to wear one with an elastic band on, yeah? When I worked for BT, I wore one with an elastic band on still. If you wear a tie, she said, you will get on in life. So I swapped it for a dog collar, and look what happened to me. I mean, there we go. So, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep we're in the Spirit. Okay, move on, Mick, move on. Here's another version of that Bible verse. Since we live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. This is the Message Bible, and it says this. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads. And a lot of people think that. Christianity is a good idea. I like it. It's kind of like a good idea, isn't it? A bit of generosity and goodness. You know, it's kind of has a good feel about it. I like the concept. Or I get a warm feeling when I go to church. And a lot of people think that way. Or you keep it as a sentiment in your heart, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. So it's not just a sentiment or a warm feeling or a good idea. It's actually something that's a 100% 24/7 lifestyle. And so the verse goes on to say this. If you move it on, Becca, please. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. And that happens a lot, doesn't it? So what the Bible verse is saying is this. Look, if you're led by the Holy Spirit, what has to go is this. Conceit, envy, jealousy, all these things which are the way of the world. I get on before him or her. He said, no, that's gone. Because we don't do that. We do other stuff. We do generosity. We do kindness. We do goodness. We prefer other people before ourselves. That's what it's saying here. Why? Because we have far more interesting things to do with our lives because each of us is an original. Do you not like that? that God has got amazingly interesting things for you and for me to do. We don't need to compare ourselves with others. We don't need to do that because you are an original and God has a plan for you and a destiny for you, which is for you. And it's worked out and the plan's in heaven. All you have to do is get it out of heaven onto the earth. As you start praying about it and asking God to do that, you receive the one who gives the plan, Jesus, into your life. You receive his spirit into your life. Bam, release from heaven the plan for your life. We think we have plans for our lives, dear people. We do. You know, before I became a Christian, I thought I had a great plan for my life. But actually, it wasn't, because it wasn't the plan that God had got for my life. That was in heaven waiting for me. I just had to know it was in heaven. And then as I became a Christian, in that moment, the door of heaven's unlocked. And that plan is available for me and for Tricia as we moved on with our lives. So each one of us is an original. When Trish and I first became Christians, we lived in Sheffield, and we were in a kind of place in the southwest of the city, a nice place, a place called Totley. And we lived there, it was a nice place, and we were in the Anglican church, but down the hill there was a Methodist church, Totley Rise Methodist Church. And something happened to that Methodist church, and they had a new minister. He was from Australia, but which is nearly New Zealand, isn't it? Anyway, let's move on. He came, and something started to happen. And there was a buzz around the local shops and the local community, which was this: what's happening at the Methodists? What is happening at the Methodists? And I remember standing in one of the local grocery shops and somebody saying, what's happening at the Methodists? And somebody said, I know what's happening. And we all turned around. I was in the shop. I was a Christian, just a Christian. And this woman said, they got the Holy Spirit. And people went, ah. And somebody said, what's that? And she went, I have no idea. I have no idea. But whatever it is, something's happening there. What happened in that church was that it started to grow rapidly, so much so that they had to build an extension on the side of the church to get everybody in on a Sunday. And this was in like a year, 18 months, less than 2 years, it just rapid growth. And the other thing I noticed was this: the kind of people were going were like this. Bring that one up, next one up, Becca, if you would. They were like young, it wasn't these actual people, but they were young people. That's the first thing I noticed. The second thing I noticed was they were happy. Now, that wasn't what was happening in the Anglican church. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Go in peace to love the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen. Off, out, door closed. We're off. We didn't even have coffee. I mean, it was like, what? And, I mean, we did morning services. You were in, out, jobs are good, and off you go. And I once asked the question, do we? Because we'd started to become Christians at Christ Church Forward, and they had coffee after the service. And I remember asking, do we have coffee? Why would we have coffee? You go home for coffee. Do you drink coffee? Are you kind of like an international person or something? We're English. We live in Southwest Sheffield. We drink tea. That kind of conversation ensued. Anyway, it changed a lot. But I noticed the Methodists, families were coming, young people were coming. But the other thing I noticed was it was affecting the community. People were talking about this in the community. And I started to see people from this Methodist church. I could tell them in the shops on a Saturday morning or on the precinct because they had a smile on their faces and they were inviting people to church. It's so embarrassing, isn't it, when somebody comes up to you outside the grocer's and goes, hi, we're from Totley Rise Methodist Church. We wonder if you'd like to come and join us on a Sunday morning. This is so embarrassing. Keep your religion to yourself, for goodness sake. This is England. What are you trying to do? This is not America. But they were like, hey, we'd love to see you. And anyway, could we pray for you? oh my goodness, this is even more embarrassing. This person is so religious. They want to pray for me on the streets. You could see people. It was just so embarrassing, but it was wonderful. I loved it. I loved it. I loved to see all this. And I remember saying to Trish, we've got to get down to the Methodists and get a jar full of what they got. And so we did, sneaked in at the back. Little bell went off and a red flashing light. An Anglican's come in, an Anglican's come in, an Anglican's come in. It's us. Come down here. Let's get you filled with the Spirit. And so it was amazing what was happening. The Holy Spirit was moving through these people and the community was affected. And in all fairness, the Anglicans wanted some of that. And the Catholics were fantastic. They wanted some of that. I mean, the priest down there was like rocking and rolling. He was great. And something started to happen in the local community all those years ago. It was exciting. Church was exciting. Even we started to sing exciting songs. Well, one exciting song in the Anglican church. We started to learn Thine Be the Glory. That was the revival song in our church. It's a bit new to me, this one, the organist said. Oh, get over it. And get him off, get a new one in. I'll bring my guitar out. You bring that guitar in, I'm leaving. Close the door on the way out. It was exciting what God was doing. Because since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So, just to finish, on this baptism day, when we think a lot about young people, sadly, the church doesn't think a lot about young people. And I've worked a long time in the church. I've been ordained a long time. And actually, a lot of the people I meet in the church work hard. I've got the greatest respect for them. They work really hard. A lot of church leaders and clergy and pastors and people who work in senior levels, they want things to happen. It's just that the missing thing is they're just slightly inept. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. They are lovely people, but don't know what they're doing. And we're all like that sometimes. So we need to go back to the Spirit of God and say, Spirit of God, what do you want to see happen? Well, let me give you, just to finish, I'll chop this thing down, but let me just give you a few things I think the Spirit of God may be saying to us this morning, maybe saying to you, maybe saying to us as a church as we go forward. Well, I would say this. Let me just throw these out. Number one, I've got six things here, one-liners. Number one, that every under five, every toddler and their parent and their carer should hear about Jesus and come into contact with a believing Christian and a spirit-filled Christian. Why? Because I know that God wants every small little person to know about his son Jesus and how much he loves them and how much he cares for them. And so we've got under five, say, and toddlers midweek. We have about in contact with over 250 children and grown-ups. I think the plan is to go to 500, probably by October. No, I'm just joking with you. All the under fives team are going, what? We need to increase our work with these people. We're restructuring, we're doing it differently. We've got a staff meeting next week where we're looking at new restructuring because it's time to enlarge the tent. Invite people in, open table, more next week, not now. Keep on target, mate. So, that's what we need to do with under fives. Everyone should hear about Jesus. That every teenager in a high school, a secondary school in South Yorkshire, should hear about Jesus who has hope for their lives. So in South and West Yorkshire, as was heard with Higher Tour, 49 high schools, 26,000 teenagers heard about Jesus. Next week, you're going to see a video clip again. You're going to hear from Liam. But actually, every teenager needs to hear that. And without this church, Higher would not have happened, and your generosity financially and in other ways. Somebody somewhere is going to realize that something's happening in South Yorkshire, where just in South Yorkshire, in Sheffield, Rotherham, and Doncaster, 14,000 teenagers were reached for Jesus. And in both these South and West Yorkshire, Nearly 1,500 teenagers made a first-time commitment to follow Jesus Christ. And they are starting to live and walk in the Spirit at the moment. I think that is definitely amazing. If you're a guest here, I think let's have a round of applause for that. This is what we do. I've still got time to say this, that we've been asking people in our church family, do they know, have they got any premises, have they got any office blocks, or anything like that, where we can bring the Message Trust, who do this, the hire tour with us, they're in Chesterfield at the moment, and I've been saying to them for a long time, you need to be in Sheffield, you need to be near us, we need to be working together on this. So we've been praying, we've had a few opportunities, great opportunity came. Is Kevin Quinton in this morning? I don't know if he is there. I think due to Kevin's great connections, an opportunity may well have arisen for the Message Trust to be in Sheffield. We're working on that this week, and maybe for 10 years in some premises, where we could work with them, we can get people like Dave Warman involved with his ministry and the Shine ministry. It could be the Holy Spirit's getting people in ranks and going, this is how you live by the Spirit. Let's walk together in this way. We could see, I would love to see, honestly, in South Yorkshire, I would love us to reach 100,000 teenagers over the next 5 to 7 years with the gospel of Jesus. And maybe these young kids could show us grown-ups what the heck to do with this gospel, because it might start going a bit like wildfire. So that's what's going to happen. So every teenager hears about Jesus. Number three, no child in Sheffield, in our perimeter here, no child should go to school hungry, either in a primary school or a secondary school. Now, that's a project we could get behind as a church. Because why? The Holy Spirit's saying, these kids are hungry. How can they concentrate on what they're doing? Bring them food in. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That is, if I have breakfast in the morning, how can I have breakfast if they can't have breakfast? So we need to be working in partnership. But that's a project this church could do. When people said to me, what are we going to do in our clusters? That's one freebie. I'll give that one to you. I was reading some churches in America, in Cincinnati. The churches started to work together. Hey, churches working together. Oh, must be from God. Walking in the Spirit in ranks. They had this massive, massive project that every child would be fed in the school. And that's what's happened. It's catching on throughout America. You don't hear that on the news, do you? Because it's a work of God. God never gets on the news. He just changes people's lives. So no child should go to school hungry. Number four, every single parent should get help and connection with a loving, Holy Spirit-inspired church. No single parent should be left on their own. I don't know how single parents manage with their kids. I think they're heroes. I don't know, we've got single parents in this church. We should extend that work. That's another project we could get off our bums and start doing, couldn't we? Where are the single parents? Come and join us. Join us and be loved and blessed. Let's help you. You're doing a great job bringing up a child. We could say a lot more on that. That's number four. Number five, students and young adults and families should be in communities in the week where they are loved and nurtured and encouraged and challenged. We all go through challenges in life. Our jobs, our relationships, our finances, whatever it is. And we need to know I'm not on my own sitting here going, am I going to get rid of this? I don't know what to do. I'll have another beer. That is not the answer. Beer is good, by the way. I like beer. In moderate amounts. There's other ways. Join a community who will nurture you and love you. Move on quickly. Number six, no elderly person should feel alone. It's a disgrace when our elderly people are alone and lonely. We have something called Natter here, working with our seniors. I personally think it should be 5 times bigger than what it is. But I'm an apostle. I want to get on with stuff. We started something. John Marsh started it here, and then I think there's a dozen, 15 in Sheffield. Seems to run out of steam. We should have 50 or 60 in Sheffield. No elderly person should feel alone. They shouldn't. You know, we invite people around at Christmas, but you know, it's more than Christmas. This is a great ministry the Holy Spirit is calling us into. We have so many homes for the elderly around here. We should be in there. Natter, if you're in Natter, don't put your hand up. Get fired up. Get to the front at the end. Let's fill you with the Spirit. Get out there. Find the elderly. Find the people. Invite them to Natter. I want people knocking on my door next week and saying, this room is too small for our seniors. We can't get them in. There's 100 want to get into a room that can only hold 50. I'll go, praise God. Hallelujah. You can have anything you want. Let's build another room for you. Financial challenges there, but never mind. Do you see what I mean? Church is exciting, amen? The Spirit of God is exciting. I don't want to die, God, until I see these things happen. That's what I say every morning. And Tricia said, make the toast, get over it. Stop preaching to me, Mick, just get the toast going. This is exciting, folks. I want you on this baptism day with these two little ones. They need to be part of a community where they go, it's exciting going to church. I want to grow up in this community. So, if you live anywhere near this church, I'm going to ask you, this is what we're going to do in the days to come. Put it up, Becca, please. If you, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And if you live within an hour and a half, 2 hours, move on to the final slide, and then I'm done. Get the band out. Join us and grow. Because we want you to come here, get inspired, get filled with the Spirit of God, live that way, walk with the Spirit, and then we'll send you back. We'll send you back to your communities. We'll send you back to where you've come from, and you could start that life there. Is that a good deal? Yes. 8 of you agree with me. Is that a good deal? Yes, it is. God's on the move, and so are we. Yes. Hallelujah. Good. Now, I'm so glad I invited my family because they're the ones applauding. Thank you for coming this morning.